It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports 1140.
All right, we got Wine Wednesday coming up at 8:27, just a little under half an hour. We're going to spend the first part of this hour talking about Harrison Barnes. We visited with him, amongst others, Monday. By the way, all these interviews available. Sactown Sports YouTube page. Subscribe, turn your alerts on, make it happen, and get all the best coverage of your Sacramento Kings right there. Harrison joined us, and listen, man, I said it yesterday. It's just a blast to talk to him. Mm-hmm. He's such a good dude. Can be frustrating on the floor sometimes. It's soaking this whole team.
Pro's pro.
But he is a pro's pro. And he visited with us. We had a good time, and here's what it sounded like. Harrison Barnes from Media.
We are here with Harrison Barnes, back for another stretch. How are you? How was your summer? Hey, yeah, pull up a chair.
Get comfy.
Visit for a while. Turn to the side. How was your summer, my man?
Summer was good. Summer was good. Good to be out, working out, being with the guys, kind of developing some chemistry, so it was good.
Any non-basketball fun trips, stories that you were able to do in the summer?
I was mostly out in the wilderness, Montana, Colorado, just... And family time in Mexico, yeah. So it was nice.
I'm curious. I'm a Mexico guy, too. We're about what region we're about?
So we went to Punta Mita. Our daughter's one, so we wanted to try to go somewhere with a direct flight. Layovers were a little difficult, so it was a nice time to be out there and enjoy the weather.
How's parenthood treating you?
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Everyone always asks that question, and probably the best quote I've heard is, it's your heart walking around outside your body. That sums it up in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
You see, you're a better person than me. I got two, and it's like, you
can't put them on eBay.
I know, and I'm remembering at 1 year old, 2 years old, sleep was a premium. But it sounds like you're doing well.
Still a premium. Yeah, it has not changed at all. But you know, my wife's a rock star. You know, and I manage. You know, I try to keep up. So it's all good.
So you've done this a long time. What do you try to do to get yourself ready for an NBA season? I mean, you've been this in many battles before. What's your agenda in the offseason to get ready?
Yeah, I think the older you get, it changes from how much time you take off. You know, you don't really take time away from training. It just kind of goes in different phases. So you're still doing your stuff in the weight room. You're still doing treatment and things like that. Your court time is probably shortened. You're maybe taking a week off or something like that. As opposed to maybe 3 weeks when you're younger, you kind of just pick up and you're already in game shape. So, you know, for me, you know, ever since pretty much May, you know, it's just been steadily trying to get better every single day.
You know, you're a vet, even though, I mean, it's funny how we're sitting here, it's like, oh, Harrison Barnes getting up there. And it's like, dude, please. It's so relative to life. But you've done this so many, as Jason said. What does this team need the most, in your opinion, to take that next step?
Shared experience. I think we have to get into the fray, and we have to play with this group together. I think it's one thing to say, okay, this guy has experience, this guy has experience, this guy has talent, this guy has talent. But until we all get into the fray and we say, man, you know, we went on the road and we beat this team, like, that was a great experience. Or, man, remember when we went to this game and we were not prepared and we lost as a unit and that really stung with us? I think that's what we need. And I'm looking forward to going to battle with these guys. I mean, it's a great group of guys, all high character. And I know sometimes, you know, it can sound cliche, you know, fancy, but, oh, we hear that all the time. But, like, it makes a big difference because, you know, winning and losing is about the trust of the guys on the court.
I mean, obviously with the Warriors, you guys had tremendous talent, but is that where you feel like the core of the greatness of that team was were the battles that you lived through?
Absolutely. And the deep relationships, right? Like when you really know somebody, right, like you know who they are, you know what motivates them, you know how to talk to them. But not just in a one-on-one scenario, but like most of the guys on the team say, like, man, you know, he missed a couple of shots. Like, this is how we need to talk to him. Or like, oh, man, like, you know, he didn't have his pregame meal like we know he's going to be. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Those type of guys, when you have that connection, it makes all the basketball stuff, the X and O's, Lakers situations, easy because you know exactly who you're with in those moments. And I think that's why I said those shared experiences. are important because I think we need those as a group to grow.
Well, and to your point, speaking of, I was having a conversation a few months ago about Draymond Green, and it was a clip of him, I forget who, he was yelling at somebody, one of his teammates, on the sideline after a missed play. And to your point, is it that shared experience, that sense of family where whether it's praising someone or getting on them, you're used enough to each other to know that it's not personal, it's love.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the way that, Barbosa will talk to me, as a player development coach and my specific workout coach, the way that he might talk to me in a workout is going to be totally different than the way he may talk to Davion or talk to Fox, because we have years of friendship and being teammates. And, he knows he can talk to me a certain way in which I'll understand very quickly, as opposed to somebody else that may be like, why this guy, he's just really short and he's not really saying a whole lot. He's almost seems like he's agitated. It's like, no. We just know, much doesn't need to be said for me to understand what he's saying, and I can talk the same way back. And it's received.
So what we see, the version of you, seems like a really well-measured, great teammate. Do you feel like you guys have enough people to push the button of another teammate on this roster when needed?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with that is it's give and take, because everyone doesn't respond to the same. I may yell at you, but, when you do something that wasn't at your best,
right,
and that may motivate you to want to be better. But if he does something that isn't his best and I yell at him, he might get even worse. Mm. It might be even more. It might be, okay, I need to pull him up. I need to go put my arm around him instead of getting in his chest. So it's very different. I think, a lot of times, especially in sports, we're used to seeing that, right? Like, the guy goes and yells at this guy and he ends up performing at a spectacular level. And it's like, most guys, behind closed doors, really, the talking is different.
Other than playing basketball, the two things that come to mind most when people talk about you is you're whip smart and you're just a good dude. And I'm curious, when you get done here, because it's going to be a while. It's
like
going to be a while.
I appreciate that.
But do you occasionally think about what's next, what you're interested in? Because I have a feeling your post-basketball life is going to be pretty, pretty special.
Yes and no. Banking is something that I'm extremely passionate about, and something I can see myself doing when I'm done playing. At the same time, I love the game of basketball. I love playing. I still feel like I have so much juice left to give, and as long as mentally you can stay engaged and focused, you can always get better. And just the idea of, I think, growing as a leader, which, it's not necessarily a popular philosophy, right? But the idea that as you get older, you almost become a better leader because you have more experiences to grow from. You can kind of see, what leadership styles work, what don't, all these type of things. I think that's also super exciting as well, because there's so many young guys coming into the league with so much more talent, so much more experience, and so much more being thrown at them now than when I first came in, right? Like, social media, it was around. It wasn't even really a thing, right? Now you have guys who are coming in off NIL deals, and it's a totally different, mindset. And, they may have a camera crew with them 24/7. Just all these different things. And it's like, hey, man, these are things that I was going through and not. So there's a lot of different avenues of what I could potentially do when I'm done playing. But I think it's always going to come back to helping people, connecting with people. Because that's just, being part of a team sport for – in the NBA, a third of my life, but basketball in general, more than half of my life. It's just part of who I am, just being part of the team.
What's the best part? What's your favorite part of being an NBA player? Kind of that, the team?
Playing against the best people every night. It was crazy talking. I was talking to some of these guys in the locker room yesterday, actually. And I was saying the difference between, my rookie year on the scouting report, it was like this is what we're going to do when Tim Duncan gets the ball in the post.
Right.
These guys are watching Tim Duncan help do a speech for Manu as he's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm like, I played against that guy.
Right.
So I think for me, just as a lifelong fan, playing against guys and seeing history really unfold in front of your eyes, LeBron being able to pass Kareem. Like, I never thought that record was going to be broken, ever. Like, I never thought anyone would ever pass him. And then it's like, here I am, you know what I mean? Like, really going to, you know, witness that at potentially some point this year, of that record being broken and then set to a higher level, right? And then potentially, you never know, playing with somebody now or playing around the league with somebody now who eventually passed that, right? It's just like, it's just so crazy to when you really think about it, like, get on the floor with these guys every single night and just be a part of it.
Last thing for you, Harrison, and I'm going to be broad here, and you land the plane however you want, because your voice is very much looked up to, and you've been very active with things important in the community. With things going on in the league recently at the upper levels, I was just curious as to how you feel, how proud, or I don't know if that's the right word, to be in this league and where you're at with all that.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, my second year in the league was when Donald Sterling happened, right? And you would think something like that, okay, that'll never happen again. And it's almost like the frequency of these things are coming closer together, right? But with the rise of, you know, social media, and I think the rise of just the attention that the NBA has brought in general, when these situations happen now, they're so much more magnified, and there's so much more. I mean, it's like you don't even know like what is even the real story, right? Because it's like everything else is taking on a life of its own. But my hope is that at the end of the day,
Monday to all of you. Thanks for joining us as always.
We don't continue to have repeat behavior of what has been occurring. Obviously, the people who have been affected by these actions, you know, get the help and support and care that they need. But also that moving forward, you know, our league is in a better place from everybody, from the players to the coaches to the staffs to the front offices to people working on the business side, all that moving forward, is that we can all be in a more productive, safe work environment in which we end up becoming a standard for how workplace treatment, quality, and behavior should be, and not necessarily the case point of why change needs to happen.
Awesome. That's awesome. Stay healthy. Have a wonderful year. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
He's just so fun to talk to.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about him and banking.
Yes.
Banking.
Who knew?
We've also got Wine Wednesday as well coming up at 8:27. We'll take a break. We're right back in just 1 minute.
Check out the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa every week on Sactown Sports 1140. Get the latest on equipment, area courses, people that play the great game, and plenty of good conversations about golf. It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa every week on Sactown Sports 1140. Golf to Go is brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality, and Safe Credit Union. Let us put you first. The 94th most popular celebrity from Carmichael.
How popular do you want to be?
Meets a Celtics broadcasting legend.
Celtics are going to go for the win. Everybody here at Golden 1 Center on their feet.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports 1140.
It was a pleasure, as always, to talk to Harrison Barnes. There's never been any... There may be questions about Harrison Barnes on the floor from time to time. There's never been any questions about him as a person, him as a leader. He's just an incredibly pleasant person to be around. I very much like Vince Carter. Just one of those people that you always feel like you learn something from, and you listen to him talk all day.
Yeah, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before. Over the years, obviously, we've gotten older. The players generally stay in that same age range of...
The players keep getting younger.
Yeah, 20 to 30-ish or whatever. But, like, Harrison Barnes is the kind of person, like, I would like to be a friend with. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, hey, come and hang out.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He seems like a cool dude.
Hang out. Let's have a barbecue, watch a game.
He talk about all sorts of things. I bet he's into sports a little bit. Bet he's into other things. Certainly he surprised us with banking. But just, you never know. Like, I just feel like he's really well-rounded.
I feel like Harrison, you know what? I got to be honest. I feel like there's, like, Harrison is reading some book with a ton of big words.
Yeah. Over my head.
He's probably watching like Masterpiece Theater when he gets home, eating healthy.
Yeah.
He said, oh, by the way, when you said what's the best part of playing in the NBA? You know, just once can somebody say the millions of dollars.
You know how much money I get?
The generational wealth I get from playing a sport, and on top of that, almost everything I get is free. Video games, shoes, five-star hotels, private planes. Oh, and I make $20 million a year to play basketball.
Yeah.
Why is that not – just somebody say that. That is the number one reason everybody plays.
I can have the nicest car, the nicest home.
Yes.
Homes, if I want.
No, he said it's going up against the best every night. But if he was making $75,000 a year – to play in the NBA, I don't feel like Harrison's talented and I'd be doing something else. Mm-hmm. It's the money. Anyways, it's the money. Just somebody say it's the money. Anyways, he said banking, which, number one, can we make that stick? Can he be the banker from now on? No, he's the Black Falcon. That's right. Bank Falcon? No. Black Falcon? No. And I think when he says banking, and I'm totally guessing here, but this is something a lot of players are getting into. And when he first set it up, I'm like, is he going to be at like a teller window? What are we talking about here?
How can I help you today?
Is he behind the chair like, okay, so you say you want a loan for the bakery, huh? Let's talk about it. Let me look. Oh, your debt to income rate. No, a lot of these guys are getting like investment banking.
Mm-hmm.
I know Eddie George is into it. Andre Iguodala is into it. Like a lot of athletes. And what it is, rich people are, and it makes sense. Rich people are obsessed with athletes.
Yeah.
They get rich and they want to be around athletes because they get that access that you know, and athletes after their careers, a lot of times people look at the the late Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan or a lot of these retired athletes. That is by far the exception. The truth of the matter is 90 to 95% of retired athletes from our generation and before, they're working their tails off. They've spent a good portion. They're not well off. They're fine, but they're going to every golf tournament they get paid to go to. They're doing all kinds of autographs and events and things like that. They're hustling and trying to make money in their second career.
Yeah.
And what happens is a lot of these athletes meet, whether it's through, mixers, tournaments, whatever, business ventures, they meet up. And you've got people with a ton of money and no access. And you've got people that don't have a ton of money. Obviously, Harrison's not in that category. And they go together and then they form like an investment fund. And it could be anything from like what we saw. Junior Bridgman was a great example. And he was like completely self-made. Like Junior, who was ex-king for 5 minutes, Junior bought a bunch of Burger Kings and Wendy's. And became a multi-hundred, made a fraction of his wealth in the NBA and became this side of a billionaire doing fast food franchises. Later on became a Kings minority owner.
Mm-hmm.
So my long-winded point is this. I think when Harrison says, because we get some questions on that, when he says banking,
it's not the traditional what you think of banking.
I'm pretty sure Harrison's probably looking to go into investment banking. Yeah. And you know what? He's probably going to make more money doing that than he did his NBA career, and the guy's made probably $150 million.
Yeah, if not more. I bet he's over that.
He's just anything Harrison touches is going to turn to gold. Do we take him for granted? Is he a better three and stable position? 20% of the starting lineup has been stable for a while with Harrison. Do we take that for granted?
I think a little bit, and I think, there's a reason their season averages. You read his earlier in the show. I think it was 16.5 last year.
Yeah.
That's a really good number.
It is.
And I think people will get caught up if you go to the negative. Yeah, but Harrison floated tonight and got 8 points.
Sure.
He did, but when you average 16.5, you're getting 24. You're getting 30.
That's
You're allowed to have, not allowed, but you have games where you're below that number. But a season worth of work, I think he's about as reliable as they get. He's healthy. He's there. He's durable. Most times he also gets a pretty gnarly defensive assignment. Hey, go guard Durant.
Sure.
Go guard LeBron. Yeah. Go guard, some really amazing wing players in this league. But I think as you add more depth and more talent overall, if Harrison Barnes, I know we do first option, second. I don't know what option he is, but I think there will be nights where Harrison Barnes scored 28 and led the team in scoring.
Sure.
There might be a night where he is just as impactful, scored nine, six, and three, a block, a steal, and guarded the other player. You're like, man, Harrison made two critical plays in the game that helped the team. So I think that's the kind of player he is. And he's been a team's leading scorer before when he was in Dallas. He's been a champion. He's been on bad teams. He's kind of experienced it all. And, again, I think he's a leader by example. I think he talks a little bit. He's not a – I mean, he said it there. He's not going to yell and get in someone's face. But I think he'll tell someone what they need to know, though, need to hear.
He just turned 30 in May. He's going into his 12th season. In the NBA. That's insane.
Yeah.
He is a 11-year veteran. And he really is the Honda Accord of the Kings. Mm-hmm. He's not flashy, but he helps get you from point A to point B. He is reliable as all get out. I mean, save a game a year here, a year there. For the most part, he's, knock on wood, been healthy. And he, like you said, I mean, there's games where he'll have 30, there's games where he'll have 10, but pretty much his career averages, Jason, and this is considering that his first 4 years he averages 9, 9.5, 10, and 11.7. So including those years, he averages 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 38% three-point shooting, 45%. Field goal shooting on 80% free throw shooting. And really, if you throw out those first 4 years, the guy averages around 17, 18 points a game.
Yeah.
He's reliable.
Yep.
He's solid. He's a good culture character guy. Let's say he has the exact same year this year as he had last year. And by the way,
it'd be great.
It would be great. I don't even know. As of right now, at best, he's the third option on the team.
Mm-hmm.
At best, and my guess is by the end of the year, he'll be probably the fourth option, whether it's a Herter, a Monk, or a Keegan Murray, that becomes that third option. He'll be a fourth option. He's making 20-something million a year.
Yep.
Let's say he has the same year you bring him back. I know it's way too early, but is that a guy you bring back?
I mean, I think it definitely would be something that Monty and the crew have to think about. Also, if we think about, he's been rumored to be traded for the better part of 2 years.
Yes.
I think about 2 years ago at the deadline, it was to Boston, and it was, I want to say, for just, to me, scraps.
Yeah.
Now that you've made it this far as an expiring and all the qualities we just talked about, if the Kings wanted to move him at the deadline, I think you get a lot more for him now. By hanging on. So you got the production from him.
I agree with you.
You got the years out of him, and you possibly could get more if that's a route they want to take.
I 1,000,000% agree with you. And it will be interesting depending on where they are. The problem with trading Harrison Barnes this year is
you may need him.
I mean, you may need him. If you, depending on what you get for him, the only thing I can see is you throw Monk in at the two, Herter then moves to the three. But now all of a sudden, you're really light. At the three, and that's not something free hot dogs are going to help, but you can get free hot dogs this weekend, 11 to 2 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, at the grand opening of Amy Ace Hardware and Amy's Outdoor Living. It's their second location. This is a family-owned business that's been around almost since the 1800s, like early 1900s. And this is the first time they've got a second location. That's a big deal. Eldorado Hills Town Center. Amy Ace Hardware, family owned, again, for more than 100 years. Went there as a kid with my dad and my mom sometimes, to be honest with you. And I'm really excited and honored to be out there. Friday, 10 a.m., ribbon cutting ceremony. All weekend long, their vendors will be there to assist you with whatever questions you have, from barbecues, tools, paint, yard, garden. Best of all, you got tons of grand opening savings. I mean, you're really going to pick up some great deals there. And no surprise, I'll be hanging with the Traeger Pellet Guy Friday, showing you everything you wanted to know about a Traeger grill. I'm going to learn some stuff. Saturday, Sunday, again, free hot dogs 11 to 2. Don't miss that. And inside the hardware store is Amy's Outdoor Living, a store within a store with a huge selection of outdoor furniture, grills, fire pits, and more. Grand opening of the Heritage Business, Amy Ace Hardware and Amy's Outdoor Living. Eldorado Town Center, Highway 50, La Trobe Road exit. Hope to see you out there Friday at 10 a.m. When we get back, we'll go around the NBA And we're also going to have our wine of the week. It's Wine Wednesday next.
You want Kings talk?
I'm a diehard Kings fan.
There's nowhere else you need to go but here.
Kings games, Kings interviews, Kings breaking news, Kings coverage. Nobody has it all but us. Sactown Sports, your local sports leader. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
The only local sports show in the morning.
On Sactown Sports 1140.
What are you laughing at?
Our text line.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Yeah, I hear you. I agree. Welcome back. Carmichael Dave, Jason Ross, Jay Mars. News and notes coming up in just a moment. In the meantime, it is Wednesday, and that can only mean one thing. Not only is it a hump day, it's Wine Wednesday. For the love of wine, it's Wine Wednesday. Yeah. We want to hear your wine of the week.
Yeah, let us know your wine.
1-800-920-1140, 916-339-1140 on the text line, or YouTube it as well on the Sactown Sports YouTube page. Brought to you by 23 Wines. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that there's 23 different wines that are bringing it to you.
I think that number's significant.
The company is 23 Wines.
Yeah.
That's significant. You know anybody who wore 23?
Michael Jordan.
Hey!
Greg Vaughn?
Greg Vaughn!
That's close.
Greg Vaughn. Greater than signed Michael Jordan. I said
obviously.
It. I said it. Jason, you got a one.
I do. I have a couple for you.
Yeah.
One wine would be, hey, if the Raiders, you're 0-3, you know what? Just a, I don't know, never coach football, but get the ball to Adams.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's being guarded by multiple people. Yeah. Don't you think that happened in Green Bay? He was their best receiver by far.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders have more weapons than the Packers did, and yet they can't seem to get the ball to him enough, or at least effectively enough. I think Carr's missed him sometimes, too. That would be one. So get out of 0-3 by getting the ball to your best player, and I think that would do them some good.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. A second one I have, it's been a, this is more of a pet peeve, but I'll tag it in as a whine. Fans get trained. We over the years, like, certain things happen, so then it becomes the norm to do this. I still don't, for the life of me, understand this, but home team, you like the Giants. So we're at in San Francisco, we're watching a game, and Jay's Dodger will pick Trey Turner's on first.
Yep.
No, it'd have to be the other way around. Excuse me. Brandon Crawford's on first. And the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw, throws over to first. Boo! Because he's leading off and I'm trying to get him out, we just universally boo the throw over to first.
Boo.
Why? Well, you're wasting my time by throwing you, the nerve of you to get my runner out. Attempt to. Now they usually don't. But why is that just a universal boo?
I think it's
the home
just,
team.
I think it's any reason you have to boo the opposing team, you do it. But
you're that's
right.
The one. Like, you don't boo when, oh, they made a double play. Like, I'm not booing because that was a really good. Hey, nice catch. Good job. But you were going to throw over to first and try to get my runner out. I do not like that.
Here's what I think they should start doing. Instead of booing, what if they just uproariously cheered every time? How bad would it throw? Yeah. How bad would it throw them off? Like, you're an opposing pitcher on the road and you throw over to first. Yeah. Standing ovation. Did you see the, what school is it where every time, it's in college, and every time the opposing pitcher throws a ball, the crowd counts 1, 2, 3, 4, and they got one guy once, it was like he threw 13 straight balls, just completely rattled him.
In his head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are good. They're also about sports.
You don't have to be sports.
I always have trouble thinking of wines and sports, so. We'll start with Hurricane Ian. That's on everyone's mind today. A lot of people evacuating. Some people haven't. I get it. I know there's a logical explanation. I do. But it is weird to me because I'm huge on weather coverage. I'm going to go home and I'm going to flip on the Weather Channel. I'm going to watch this thing, right? Weather is fascinating to me. And the whole time it's like, and Governor Ron DeSantis has commanded everybody to evacuate, and John and Jill Smitherton of Brayton, Florida, are absolute morons, and they have not evacuated. They have not listened to the governor, and now they're here, and they're probably going to die. Jim Johnson from the Weather Channel is at their house right now as the hurricane approaches to talk about it. It's like, dude, why are you all there?
Yeah.
Set up webcams. Staple a webcam to a telephone pole, but you're putting poor Agnes Schmidt on the beach.
Agnes?
Agnes is on the beach in a raincoat
an umbrella because that's going to help.
And a hat, though, at least.
And a hat with knee-deep in the water reporting on how stupid people are for not evacuating.
With cars floating by.
I'm going to say this, knocking on wood, because I am superstitious. There's going to be a reporter that dies. It's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. It's going to happen one day. Someone's going to get swept off. You know, it's not even going to be swept off into the ocean. It's going to be, it was a couple years ago. I think it was Anderson Cooper. It's going to be like a speed limit sign blowing past the camera and smashing a reporter live on the air. And that's when they're going to stop it. Mm-hmm. Let's not wait. I got an idea. Let's not wait until an on-camera death of a reporter.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and set up remote cameras.
And also, if people tell you to evacuate, it's best to do that.
You know?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Secondly, Minor Wine. I'm a huge fan of the show Jeopardy. RIP Alex Trebek. They've got a couple of hosts, this, that, whatever. Well, now the executive producer is introducing an idea. If you, let's say the category is potpourri, and if you sweep the category, meaning you answer every question correct, they want to give you a cash bonus.
No. Why?
Why would you possibly? You
are getting a cash bonus. Every answer you're getting right.
Thank you. There was nothing you could do about Alex Trebek dying of cancer. That forced a change on the show.
Yeah.
Why would you possibly mess with the formula?
Right. And in the year plus it's been, they've actually had two or three people go on significant, like record-setting runs or close to it. It's been good for the show.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Just don't fix it. Leave it alone. Don't mess with success. Those are my wines. Jay, do you have a wine?
I do. Mm. It's about Jared Jones.
Jarrah.
That's when we get the Jerry Jones impression.
R-U-H.
Jarrah going on his radio program Tuesday morning in Dallas and suggesting that it would be good for the Cowboys franchise to have a quarterback controversy based upon Cooper Rush starting and winning two games when you have a bona fide Pro Bowl quarterback that you just paid a lot of money to.
Okay, you're making me want
in
to
Dak Prescott.
Harm myself. Okay?
I want to interview Jerry. Jerry, who are you going to start, though, when Dak's back?
I mean, if I have a quarterback controversy, I'll leave that to the coaches, but you know I'll tell them what to do, but I won't say.
You're really going to leave that to Coach McCarthy?
Yeah, of course. But I'll tell him what to do and that let him make the decision. Okay? It doesn't really make a lot of sense to have a quarterback controversy and think that's a good thing for the football team, Jarrah.
Here's the thing about Jerry.
It's like trying to give birth to a bumblebee.
Are you interviewing yourself?
Yes.
You cannot take a porcupine, light it on fire, throw it in a barn and call it licorice. It just doesn't work.
Absolutely not, unless it's my vision. But if it's my vision, it can work.
I was thinking about this a week ago. It's funny you bring up Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is like seriously top 25, one of my most favorite people in sports history.
Why?
Athlete or otherwise.
Explain.
Love Jerry Jones so much because I'm a Niner fan. And every time I hear Jerry Jones open his fat mouth, I thank God for our ownership here in Sacramento. I get on my knees and I thank sports Jesus.
So you thank me, Jerry Jones?
Whatever you want to say about King's ownership, and I'll say it.
It's not Jerry Jones.
It's not. Jerry Jones has single-handedly grabbed America's team. He has built the business tremendously. But he's put his kid, like, people got pissed that Vivek's kid is the assistant GM in Stockton. Jerry Jones' son is the longtime GM of the team. His son.
Well, I'm actually the GM.
Open nepotism. Jerry has no NFL experience, but now is their head coach, GM, strategist, whatever.
He's got 25 years of experience.
Of crap.
Listen.
The only reason he has a ring.
I understand the NFL.
Or a couple. Is Jimmy Johnson. And that's the one thing he did. Like our owner, the first move he made was the best move he made. Hiring Michael Malone, hiring Jimmy Johnson. Now, they won Super Bowls.
Barry won one, too.
Barry won with Jimmy Johnson's team. That's like saying George Seifert won a Super Bowl.
He did.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he did. God bless George Seifert. Yeah. But that's Bill Walsh. Come on. So, I love Jerry Jones. As a Niner fan, he has been tremendous. And Cowboy fan, Cowboy fan is like, it's like my daughter's hamster. It has no idea what's going on in the real world. As long as it gets fed and watered, it's fine. It's just oblivious. Cowboy fan just lives every year to wear their medium cowboy jersey and go, how about them Cowboys?
And then run in the circle and looking
then
for cheese.
And they run in the wheel, and every year they either don't make the playoffs or they lose in the first round, and then they're just like, cheese, wheel,
let's do it
water.
Again.
Let's do it again. How about them Cowboys? Like, that's, they don't care. They're oblivious. They are the hamsters of the NFL. And I'm here for it. We'll take a break when we come back. News and notes. And birthdays.
Join Sactown Sports at the Sacramento Kings Sunday, October 16th, starting at 3 p.m. for Fan Fest. Festivities include a skills challenge, a 3-on-3 national cup tournament, and so much more. Log on to SactownSports.com for more details. What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Air and Solar, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and Second Opinion partner.
Got a scorcher today. We got a whole team that's hot.
Ooh.
The Yankees. Just clinched their 20th division title in franchise history. Honestly, I thought it would have been more. Keeping pace with the Dodgers for the second most division titles in MLB history. Mm. Only the Braves, who can still win the NL East because they're one game back of the Mets entering today. Actually, no, entering yesterday.
Yeah.
Have more division titles with 21. Who's not, you asked?
Who's not?
Marlins pitcher Richard Bleier.
Oh, I know what he did.
He was called for a balk three times in the eighth inning versus the Mets last night.
Who was called for a what?
Balk.
Balk.
That is...
three times.
Balk, balk, balk.
Wow.
That ties the MLB record for most balks by a pitcher in a single inning. And it's the first occurrence since Jim Gott did it in August of 1988.
Jim Gott balk?
Because... yep. Bleier was ejected for arguing.
Hey, Jay, did you happen to watch the, I don't know if it was a 30 for 30, but the Dodgers-Yankees uncivil war last night?
You know what? Pat Steele was hyping me to that dope game because I never even saw a commercial for it, so I will be watching it.
There's a lot of Greg Nettles in there. A
lot of him. Uh-huh. What about your cousin Derek Jeter?
No, it's more of the 77-78. 81 Dodgers-Yankees World Series time. And leading up to that, a lot of Reggie and Steve Garvey.
A lot of Steve Garvey,
I hear. Steve Garvey is an interesting case.
Steve Garvey.
Always refused to say bad words and was just the outstanding family man that was always having an affair on his wife.
Yes.
News and notes.
Poor Cindy.
Right now.
On this frequency.
It's time for the news of the day.
Thank you for ruining the show and dropping a steamer on my journalistic integrity.
Today's important headlines, intelligent analysis, hard-hitting interviews.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
Here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Oh my God, I love those guys.
Just a couple things for y'all. Tom Hanks has acted in nearly 100 movies, but in an interview with People... that not like random people, I mean the magazine.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. He thinks only four of them are pretty good.
Oh, really?
Okay, Big has to be one
of them. Okay, so that's where I'm at, man. What four? It's Forrest Gump has to be one.
Big. Bachelor Party.
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch is just a cinematic treasure.
Was Turner and Hooch the one that was set in Sacramento?
Oh.
It was that, or what was the one with Jim Belushi?
That's not Turner and Hooch.
Wasn't Jim Belushi in some sort of cop dog movie, too? Or am I tripping?
Canine?
Yes. One of them, they were going to get... I thought Turner and Hooch, he was not set in Sacramento. He was going to get promoted. He was supposed to get promoted to Sacramento. I don't know. I just remember Sacramento in it.
Who was Turner? Who was Hooch?
Yeah, don't know. Not sure.
Castaway?
I would say Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Big, and Castaway.
Not Saving Private Ryan?
You haven't looked at the list yet?
God. No, he didn't say.
Oh.
Saving Private... Crap. Okay, Road Saving Private Ryan.
Catch Me If You Can.
I think he's right. I think Saving in no particular order. Saving Private Ryan, Forrest Gump.
I don't think he's going to put Big in there.
No, I don't either. Castaway and Philadelphia.
Splash.
Daryl Hannah. Remember in Bachelor Party where what do you have, the mixers he kept running around with? I'm going to say this. Tom Hanks, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. The New York Post reports that parents are furious as pickleball players are overtaking playgrounds. Quote,
what?
They're the lantern flies of the sports world.
Oh.
What is this pickleball and I need to figure it out? I don't know what
pickleball's fun.
Never played.
Pickleball sounds dirty.
It is.
Just saying.
It's just adults doing dirty things.
It just sounds dirty. Is there a way to give me a basic, or do I have to watch? Like a
pickleball?
Yeah.
It's played inside of the doubles court of a tennis court, or inside of a tennis court. And if I start saying some of the terms, you'd be like, wait, what? Because there's a thing called the kitchen.
Anyway. Is that the one where there's a little bouncy thing in the middle and they're trying to hit the ball?
No, that's spike ball.
No.
It's you have paddles instead of a rack. I mean, the racket, but they're a paddle. And it would be like a bigger wiffle ball in a sense.
Okay.
It's like a plastic ball with that has holes all the way around it. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say the best thing that was told to me about it is I think you can play with athletic youth child and a grandparent.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't think, you know, where you go, oh, they'd run the grand, like, that I think they could play.
That was a great 80s band, Athletic Youth Child.
Yes.
I enjoyed them.
That's the Dutchie.
Coming up later in the
wow
in the news. By the way, just to get this out of my head, guys, you can only pick one. One Tom Hanks movie. Which one is it?
Big.
You this is like a movie that you got to watch once every 3 months for the rest of your life.
Okay. The Wonders. Or no, That Thing You Do.
That's what the O'Neaters, and yeah, The Thing You Do.
One?
Durs.
Man.
Not a Tom Hanks movie.
Green Mile?
Yeah, like Green that. Mile.
That's a good movie.
God. I think
I'd probably pick something more fun. Forrest Gump's so great.
I love Forrest Gump.
Why'd you say it like that?
I didn't say it like
Greenbow, Alabama. I think I'd take Castaway. It's a slog, but I also...
It's so heart-wrenching, though.
I think people forget or don't...
You're missing something.
I think Castaway by far is his best role. I don't think it's particularly close because 90% of the movie, he's by himself and talking to a volleyball.
And then the other 10% has Helen Hunt. How
right, hey now.
Captain Phillips, Sully. Oh, I might pick A League of Their Own.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh, how did we look over that?
But he's like a supporting actor in that movie.
But he's the supporting actor.
Toy Story 3?
No. Yeah. Okay.
I'd go one over three.
Three's the best.
Today,
what?
Yes, by far.
I know it wouldn't be. I know what it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be Saving Private Ryan or Philadelphia. I don't want to watch those movies every 3 months for the rest of my life. They're wonderful, wonderful movies. I don't feel good at the end of them.
You got mail? Da Vinci Code?
Oh, Da Vinci Code's underrated. Not best, but those are underrated. On this day in 1955, in the opening game of the World Series at Yankee Stadium, Jackie Robinson stole home versus your New York Yankees.
Okay.
You were there. Yogi Berra to this day.
Georgia Bat.
Well, not to this day. He's been dead. But
he's dead.
For the rest of his life, said that Jackie was out.
Hmm.
You know what?
Unless he was safe.
He might have been
right. That's probably what Yogi said.
That replay. On this day, 35 years ago, the theme to the Jim Rome Show was released by a band called Guns N' Roses. Mm. Welcome to the Jungle is 35 years old.
Isn't that crazy he was able to get Guns N' Roses to do a theme for him?
Yes. Especially since he didn't even have a radio show.
Are they clones?
That's the crazy part.
Are Guns N' Roses clones?
Are they the original clones?
Might be.
We'll get Jim on after the show.
Did he rack him?
He permanently racked them.
Wow.
Top 10 most hated NASCAR drivers, according to a brand new poll. Second place is Cody Ware at 18.9%. Does anyone want to take a guess when NASCAR fans were polled? Which NASCAR driver was the most hated? Remember, second place was 18.9%. This driver, 30.1% in first place, most hated NASCAR driver. Anyone want to take a
currently
shot?
Currently or ever?
I guess this is currently. Anyone want to take a shot? Don't overthink it.
Kyle Larson.
No,
I wrote the name down. I don't even want to say it.
Kyle Larson isn't even in the top 10.
The way you were smiling made me think it was like a local tie.
I'm smiling because the most hated by far NASCAR driver is shockingly, and I have no idea why, Bubba Wallace. Is that? Jason, 100% correct. Yeah. Would have not guessed.
The NASCAR people hate Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, I don't. Right.
What about him sticks out?
I don't.
That other drivers.
He drives the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know what? I bet you it's because his name is Bubba.
Never puts his blinker on. He's always cutting people off.
I think he texts while he drives.
Celebrity birthdays, please.
Okay, let's do it. Happy birthday on this wonderful September 28th.
Oh, happy birthday to you.
2022. Happy birthday today, guys, to Naomi Watts.
Oh, the great Naomi Watts.
Oh, the great Naomi Watts.
Of the canceled Game of Thrones prequel.
Okay.
Naomi Watts is 39.
Naomi Watts is a solid 50.
You don't know Naomi Watts
is. I don't know Naomi Watts.
She's 54.
Oh, God.
She's very thankful
she's
for you.
Young.
You ever see The Ring?
King Kong? What
I've
else?
Seen The Ring. Oh, I know who that is. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Is she with Liv Schreiber? Is that correct?
Or is Liv Schreiber with her?
Couple? Maybe am I wrong? I don't know.
She's with Liv Schreiber. Yeah, and she was until 2016.
Okay.
And then she was with and still is Billy Crudup.
Oh, okay.
From the morning show.
Billy Crudup is wonderful on the morning show, by the way.
And he's not with us.
He's what?
Billy Crudup.
Oh, God, I was like, he's not dead?
He's not on the morning show.
He's not on the morning show.
He's not with us. Happy birthday today to Hillary Duff.
Hillary Duff.
Hill Duffs.
Now, Hillary Duff... Was that the one that was in Napoleon Dynamite, or was that her sister?
That's her sister. Okay. That's Haley.
Hillary Duff. Hillary Duff is, today she turns 42. Happy birthday, Hillary. Oh, yeah.
Hillary Duff's 37.
Hillary Duff is 35 today.
Hi, wrong.
Happy birthday to Jeffrey Jones. Who's Jeffrey Jones, you ask?
My son.
Ferris Bueller. The principal who also did some...
Yeah, did the bad things. Principal
did some
Rooney.
Bad things.
Oh, gosh.
Mr. Rooney.
Not a good human.
No. Oh, you know what? I just looked up his face and I saw his birthday. I'm being honest. I have to...
So, Jay? Do you think Jay will get within 3 years of this?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Principal Rooney is 74.
Wow. 76.
76.
Well done.
I was actually more right than he was because I Anyways.
Happy birthday to X-King. Everybody loves him. Bonzi Wells.
Bonzi! Bonzi Wells is 44 today.
Bonzi Wells turned his number 42.
Bonzi Wells is 46 today.
I complimented him.
Let's end with Seahawks legendary receiver Steve Largent.
Ah.
Steve Largent.
Not to be confused with Steve Large.
Steve Largent. Steve Large. Steve Largent in charge.
Yes.
Steve Largent. Largent. By the way, is 67.
66.
68.
Oh, in your face. That's a good day of celebrity. Wasn't Steve Largent a congressman, too, or something?
I believe so.
Tomorrow on the show, we have
that
stuff.
That was Sonny Bono, stupid.
We have things and sports.
Oh, things and sports.
Yeah. It's all coming up tommorrow. Jim Rome is next. Stay tuned for Cattles and Rami as well. For Jay and Jason, I'm Dave. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.